Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
And you're very welcome along this week's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. We're with you every Friday afternoon, bang on 1:30 to navigate the choppy waters of the weekend's betting markets. We look ahead to the biggest games. Every single Premier League game we give some time to, not equal time every week, and particularly not this week, where there is obviously such a standout fixture. Joining us this week, Statman, is odds compiler from Paddy Power, Jason Murphy. Jason, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, Jerry. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
No worries. And Enda Call is in his YouTube studio, calling it as usual. Enda, how are you?
Not quite my own studio, but somewhere in the off-the-ball ether anyway, Jerry.
I see you've taken over the
headset.
You've taken over the entire office. That's what's happened.
I have.
Some form.
Phil and Tom will kill me by the time their Bolton is ready to go at 2 o'clock. So I'll try to be as obnoxious as I can.
We'll give them some good information, and that's all you need to do. Here's what the games are this weekend. The Villa Everton game obviously is not happening on Saturday. It is the 12:30 game. Wolves versus West Brom at 3:00. West Ham and Burnley, two games on at 3:00. It's just like the olden times. Leeds against Brighton, and then 5:30. Fulham Chelsea. The 8:00 kickoff is Leicester against Southampton on Sunday. Sheffield United against Spurs, 4:30, live on Off the Ball. It's Liverpool against Manchester United. Nathan Murphy and Brian Kerr calling that one for you. Man City against Crystal Palace is a 7:15 kickoff. And then at 8:00, it is Arsenal against against Newcastle. I think Arsenal might just about beat the scratch team we'd get from News Talk these days, although with End on the wing, who knows. Right, our Twitter poll this week was, where will Manchester United finish? First, second, third or fourth? Fairly straightforward. And there's not a lot of confidence out there that Man United are going to be real. 44%, by far the biggest, say third. 20% say fourth or below, and almost 20%, 19.9% think Manchester United are going to be first. So is that what the market's saying at this stage? I think it probably is, Jason.
Yeah, so Man City are favourites at 8-13, Liverpool 11-4, and Man United, we really generous price there at 13-2 if you look across the market. We still have them a little bit bigger than what that poll suggests. And I'm a United fan, I'll put my biases on the table, but when it comes to pricing up things like this, you have to be honest, and I'll tell the customers begrudgingly that the value there is actually Liverpool at 11-4. The average points to win the league, you need 85 points. United, if they continue at their current rate, are on for 80 points this season. And we're not even halfway through the season, which is a big factor for people to consider. The only two teams that can break that 80-point barrier this season, I think, are Man City or Liverpool. And at those prices, the value is actually there with Liverpool at 11-4.
Yeah, Jason McAteer was speaking on Sky a little bit earlier on in the week, and he said he feels like it's a false position for Manchester United. He's been hammered by the Man United fans for saying that. We have him on the radio tonight, so we'll talk to him about that. But I know what he means. There's like you know, it's early on, they've had a bit of a run, the other teams around them are actually in not great form or are just coming into form. I understand that, like, some teams can be in a false situation, especially before the league is halfway up.
Yeah, and we've seen it already this season. We've seen a couple of dark horses from the pack. So Spurs, when they were 3-0 up in play against West Ham, were a similar price to United are now. And Spurs have obviously fallen by the wayside since. Chelsea, when the bet leads at the start of December, were a similar price to what United are now. And they've fallen by the way since. So United are the team in form at the moment. But like I say, Liverpool standards, Man City standards the last three seasons, phenomenal and overachieved in the points totals that they got. We still expected them to hit the high 80s, but because of their troubles this season, we've reset the bar on that. United getting 80 points is fantastic, but it'll only win a league title in five of the last 28 seasons. So even if United hit 80 points, if they win it, it's just because of this unusual season. And as a United fan, look, it's just great to be back in these kind of conversations, but it's not a Fergie United quite yet.
No, we're surrounded by Manchester United fans, obviously. And how are you feeling about all this?
Well, I said it last week, and it's almost similar enough to what Jason McAteer was saying. Like, I do think United have improved. Absolutely, they've improved on last season. There's no doubt about it. But I think everyone else has gotten worse, and that is playing into the hands of the league and where the league title or what the league table is saying at the minute. It's not that United have gotten to the stage where Liverpool or Man City were over the last couple of seasons. It's the fact that Liverpool and Man City have actually to the point where Manchester United are this year. So I one thing that Jason was saying is the points tally, they might win the league this year. I do think it might be a little bit lower because we've seen weird seasons over the last couple of years where teams like Man City and Liverpool have been breaking the 100 points barrier, but that's not going to happen. And I think football has almost reset itself to a point where it was about 10 years ago. So I do think 84 points sounds about right for where you're going to win the league, but the lower the points tally, the more likely it is for an upset. So I do think United have a good chance of being in and thereabouts, but I don't think they're going
to
win it.
Okay, what you get to request the specials every week. So there are bets that you think have a good chance of coming off or something that you want to price on, Andy. You've asked for Sheffield United to survive, Manchester United to win the league and Steve Bruce to be next sacked. So where do you want to start?
We'll start with Sheffield United because they've won a game. They finally won a game and we had a big winner before Christmas. I think it was from like almost the end of August to Christmas for Sheffield United not to win a football, and they didn't. So they finally won a game of football. It came during the week, and potential for them to stay up, I think it's highly unlikely because if you look at their next five fixtures alone, they've got United, City, Chelsea, and Spurs as well thrown on top of that. So they're going to struggle from here on. But I mean, if they stay up, that is the greatest of great escapes, really, isn't it?
I mean, it would be, yeah, remarkable to come back from where they had come back, not winning the game in 2020 to stay up. What are the odds, Jason? How do you price up something like this? Because it's kind of an unusual specific. It's not that unusual, really. It's like a team avoiding relegation, but
we've a great outright offering there, and in the pure to stay up market, we've Sheffield United 13-2 at the moment. Now, for the off the ball specials, we've had a look at it and we've tried something slightly different, and we've gone with Sheffield United to get 36 points or more, and we've priced that up at 16-1. Reason being is people always talk about the 40 point barrier, but again, if you look at the Premier League, the average points that you need since it's become a 20 team league to stay up is actually 36 points. If you get to 36 points, more often than not, you will stay up in the league. Now, we think Sheffield United, we don't, obviously, 16-1, we don't think they'll get to that total. But there has been cases where teams with 31 points would have stayed up. Burnley and Hull actually went down in 2010 because they only managed to get 30 points. Whereas we've seen a team like West Ham actually get relegated with 42 points. So that's the kind of, it's not the 40-point barrier that people always talk about. But Sheffield United, they're 16-1 to get 36 points or more, or 13-2 just to get enough points to stay up.
So just to remind everybody, Manchester United are 13-2 to win the league, and Sheffield United are 13-2 to stay up. So that's what that's the price comparison. Everybody should understand the likelihood of those two things being an outcome are about the same. It's Manchester United to win the league are 13-2, and is that now that I've put it in that context of will Sheffield United stay up? Will Man United win the league?
I mean, if you want to put on a double on that, it'd be. You'd be a happy man at the end of the year, wouldn't you?
Well, no, because you've given your money away.
Well, if it comes off.
Like, if it comes off, yeah, two
you know
miracles.
What I mean.
But does it feel more miraculous for Sheffield United to stay up than it does for Manchester United to win the league?
I think it does because, I mean, Sheffield United are on 5 points at the minute and they literally went the whole half of the season without winning a game of football. The fact that if they managed to stay up with their run of fixtures, it would be one of the greatest turnarounds of all time. United win the league. United have spent a lot of money. I mean, like, yeah, that's where you have to look at the context of things. Sheffield United are in or around the standard of what the teams below or down on that side of the table are, but Manchester United really should be challenging for the title at the end of the day. So I think it's actually more likely that United go on and win the title than it is for Sheffield United to win or to not get relegated this year.
Yeah. All right, Steve Bruce to be next sacked. I mean, I don't think you're putting your neck out too far here, Enda.
No, I mean, we can have a discussion. I mean, it's open to discussion again. Would you rather down in flames playing Marcelo Bielsa football, or would you rather watch your team play Steve Bruce football? And I think I know which I would rather. And at the minute, Steve Bruce and Newcastle are absolutely shocking. Their last five games in a row, so they're in big trouble. And the problem with this season is you have to spend money to get rid of your manager, and not many clubs are willing to, as we've seen. Like, I mean, if this was a regular season, we'd probably be talking about three or four managers that have already been sacked, and Steve Bruce might be one of them. So it's whether or not Mike Ashley wants to pass with any money that he would have to sack Steve Bruce. So I think on form, he probably deserves to be sacked in the way football they're playing football, but I don't know if Newcastle will do it.
Yeah, this is one of those kind of unintended consequences of COVID, that actually it seems as if chairman slash owners are being a bit more reluctant, Jason, to sack managers so far. Obviously, we've only seen the one in the Premier League, and that is a bit of an outlier. Does that change how you price at these markets, or is this one so volatile that it's essentially based on who walks into a betting shop somewhere and puts some money on?
No, it's a great market because we keep it up in play. And when a team is having a bad performance, you'll see the money come and the prices change. And really, yeah, when it comes to pricing it, you have to consider the context, especially this season more than ever. So at the moment, the favourite is Chris Wilder at 13-8. He was in as short as 8-15 at one stage. But like that, we can't see Sheffield United getting rid of him. They're too loyal. And what he's done, again, is probably the most overachievement by any manager this season. Next up, we have Lampard at 11-4. When Bilic was sacked and we reset this market, we had Lampard at 16-1. We're going well in the league. I think the 11-4 on Lampard is a great bet because Abramovich is one man that will pull the trigger. Whereas you look at Steve Bruce, we have him there at 7-2, which shortened from 20-1 since the start of December. And you look at Graham Potter, he's there at 9-1, and people might be tempted by that. But Tony Bloom, the owner of Brighton, is a really smart man, and he'll understand better than any, he's smarter than any of us, and he'll understand about that Brighton process and what's actually happening there. So for me, out of those front four, given the season that's in it, I actually think Lampard at 11-4 might be a bit of value in that market.
Are you saying Tony Bloom's a big fan of XG? Is that what makes him smarter than us? Or you understand?
If you Google him, he came to his fortune through mathematics and betting. He's one of the shrewdest, smartest football punters around, and he'll completely understand whether it's bad luck or something else that's the reason why Brighton aren't a bit higher up in the table.
All right, so maybe it is hype, and maybe he's buying his own hype. We'll get into that a little bit later on when we get to talk about Brighton. So that's the scenario. You can find those bets. There's a special off the ball section on the Paddy Power website. You can check out for those details. And we'd like you to get involved in our Instagram polls as well. They go live every Thursday, where we ask you to give us a winner in each of these games, and we'll get to them now. Follow us at Off The Ball, and votes only count up until 10 a.m. on Friday morning, so you've got to get in on your Thursday to give us your take on that. So we're going to start with Wolves against West Brom. We're not going to spend the full 2 minutes on all of these. Nuno says 84% against 16% for Big Sam, according to our Instagram audience. I'm not sure about this. I just, sometimes you forget that these derbies actually really matter. You know, we don't really obviously care that much about what life in Wolverhampton and West Bromwich is really like as Premier League fans living in Ireland, but they do, and they have to live amongst these people. So on this, West Brom are officially the worst team in the Premier League according to XG, 0.7 goals for and 2.1 goals against. Wolves are obviously in a slump at the moment, and I think this might be the game where they just about get right, but it's going to be a squeak. So I think Wolves might just beat West Brom. Jason, what does the market say?
Yeah, the market has Wolves 4-7, the draw 5-2, and West Brom 6-1. And just to piggyback on your point on XG there, an average team should produce about 1.4 XG per game. You know, that's the average number of goals that they would score. That's really awful from West Brom. Wolves were averaging about one goal XG per game prior to Jimenez's injury. Since then, that's dropped below one, which is just atrocious. It's not just Jimenez scoring the goal. Since he came to the club, only Moutinho has more assists than him. Jimenez has 13 assists and Moutinho's 14. Moutinho, 12 of those assists came from set pieces, which Jimenez obviously doesn't take. So it's not just his goals, it's his whole round hold up play, setting other players up, that Wolves are really missing. And for me, I'd be keen to oppose Wolves in this game. You'd get West Brom at odds against about 5-4, West Brom plus one. And if you actually look at West Brom's last two away matches, they actually drew with Man City and they drew with Liverpool. So it's the kind of game where, for that bet to click, you don't need West Brom to score, you just need Wolves not to score. So I think 5-4 for that is a very good bet, especially with the derby factor.
Yeah, you can also see this being nil all pretty easily. Enda, what's next?
West Ham against Burnley, Jer, because again, not all teams are made equal, and this game is definitely one that you could probably skip if you wanted to. So Burnley starting to come a little bit better than they were at the start of the season, but again, they're still not a team that you would sit down and watch week in, week out. West Ham probably similar enough, but I suppose one thing that we've touched on is team form and team form against the team that they're playing against, and not always, it doesn't always work does Burnley have a better record against West Ham, that that's actually going to happen this week again. But I think if you're going to look at any market in this, it's probably the goals market, because under 2.5 goals has come out six times in Burnley's last seven games. So I think that that's likely one again. And maybe one thing that you could look at in this, if you're stuck, because he has been the man that has come up with the goods when West Ham have been sort of struggling to break down a team like Burnley, and that's Tomáš Souček to pop up a header from a corner or a free kick or something. He's excellent in the air. He's actually been a really shrewd signing from West Ham as well. So I do think this is going to be a horrible game to watch, and you probably should just take a little lie-in, like on Netflix or whatever when this is on, and just get the feet up and watch something else while it's on. That's my main that's what I want you to do this Sunday instead of watch, or this Saturday instead of watch West Ham Burnley. Watch something on Netflix instead.
What's the money saying, Jason?
Yeah, we've West Ham 5-6, the draw 12-5, Burnley 7-2. Just to give you another angle on it, Nottingham against West Ham doing really well under David Moyes, but Burnley, if you actually look at games away from home, their last three in particular, they bet Arsenal, they drew at Villa, albeit Villa should have won that game, and they were very unlucky to lose against Leeds. They had a perfectly good goal disallowed. Me was actually fouled by the Leeds keeper for that goal. So Burnley away from home are really dogged. They've conceded 13 goals in 8 away games, but one of them was a 5-0 defeat to Man City. Take that out of that sequence, and 8 goals conceded and 7 goals away from home is really, really good. So for me, at 10-11, I'd be going Burnley plus one.
Burnley really turned around, actually, in the last 6 or 8 weeks, and I actually thought they played quite well the other night against United as well. Anyway, Leeds against Brighton is next for us here. Marcelo Bielsa's side are favoured by 82% of our Instagram users. Brighton friendless at 18%, but I don't know if they should be friendless entirely. So let's get into this now. Bielsa's side have seen the most expected goals in the league this season, 1.8 goals for per game. However, the defence not so good. XG is 2 goals against, so that's not great. If the league table was actually just an expected goals league table, then Brighton would be 6th. However, they are not 6th in the real world. So how do you explain this anomaly, Jason? And is this what their smarty pants owner is looking at going, I know exactly what's happening here?
Yeah, I think like the process is very good. That's why you brought Potter in. Chris Hughton would keep you up, but you won't get top half playing that football. But with Potter, you had the potential for the club to break into the top half. What I love about the process is I'd love to see a striker like, if Cavani was playing in that Brighton team, his movement in the box, I think he'd score a bagful. Whereas the Burnley style of play, there was people saying this week Andy Carroll would be suited for it. And if you look at the crosses that kept coming in against United, he would have been. So it's horses for courses. And I think Graham Potter is probably just the top clever striker off having that Brighton team converting those chances. But in terms of this game, we always try and give you context. And the market on Leeds is really hard to figure out. You just can't follow the prices. And I've kind of, one narrative, one theory I have is, if you look at Leeds against the big clubs, right, they've taken batterings against Chelsea, Leicester, United and Spurs, and they've won bad beat against Palace. That's their bad beats this season, and that Palace 4-1 wasn't really a 4-1. But against the other teams in the league, they've actually been really good. And when you consider Leeds, it's all high-energy football. Brighton are actually, after coming from a difficult game against Man City, were putting a massive shift. Extra time against Newport in the cup last Sunday, they probably couldn't get into the car park at Newport. So like for me, for this game with Leeds and their high energy, I think it's one of the best bets this weekend, Leeds to win in 90 minutes.
Okay, what price is that?
You can get that at 5-4 there now. 11-10 at the moment.
Okay, all right. Right, that's our 2 minutes on that. Andy, you didn't even have a chance to rubbish poor Brighton.
Listen, again, the key word that Jason was using there is process. Like, XG is a measurement tool. So, really, if they what the problem is with Brighton at the minute is they have a really high XG. So, they're getting into the right positions. They're taking their shots from the correct, more likely to score. But they're not taking the chances. So, they need a better striker. That's the key issue. Stephen Doyle had a good tweet. And this is my main issue with Brighton, is that people talk about them as if they're playing people brand of football. And it's really brilliant to see them playing this way. Brighton played Man City at home last day of the season, 2018-2019 season. They finished one place above the relegation zone. Chris Hughton was sacked the next day. Graham Potter took over. 18 months later, another defeat to City, and they're 1 point above the relegation zone. So that's my key issue here. But we'll move on to Fulham against Chelsea, because that's the game coming up after that. And this is a game where can Scotty Doohotty take on Frank Lampard? And show them how it's done, show them the real, how a real London manager gets it done. I don't think so. Fulham have been better over the last couple of games, and they've been, you know, they've been outperforming where we would expect Fulham to be. Chelsea have been awful recently, so it's really about, can Chelsea get back into form? And they probably should against a team like Fulham. Like, Fulham are a team that if you get at them and you have goal scorers on your team and you take your chances, you will get chances, you will score them, and you will win the game. The problem with Spurs during the week was they sat back and let pull the pace of the game. Chelsea won't do that this weekend. So I do think this should be a relatively easy one from Chelsea, and the XG and the sort of markets and the average in from all these games that Fulham have played against Chelsea, you would expect Chelsea to win this. One thing to look at maybe is the both teams to score market. The last 8 matches for Fulham, both teams to score has landed 50% of the time. Chelsea, four out of the last 5 games, they have ended with both teams scoring. So you have a very high chance of both teams getting a goal in this game. So I would probably look for that as opposed to an outright market, because Chelsea are probably odds-on favourite for this, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess they are. You're nodding there, Jason.
Yeah, no, Chelsea at 1-2, but to be honest, I'd rather be a layer than a backer at that price. Fulham unbeaten in 5 games, 5 draws, and their performance at home against Liverpool was really impressive. But again, for anyone having a bet, we always want to make sure it's an informed bet. And Ruben Loftus-Cheek is actually tied and can't play against his parent club here, which I think will affect Fulham a bit. But for me, I won't be backing Chelsea at 1-2 for this game. And like I said, the next to be sacked market, we keep it up in play. It's under our manager specials. Frank Lampard at 11-4. If they don't win this game, that price is going to definitely shorten.
All right. Next is Leicester against Southampton. This is a really interesting game here, where 72% of our Instagram users have gone for Leicester to beat Southampton. Southampton are actually overperforming at the moment. I mentioned that league table a little bit earlier on. They should be much lower in the real world if the XG markets played out in real life. They're averaging just a goal a game in XG. And at some point, if Danny Ings stops scoring, then who else is actually going to score for them? So you would be concerned over the long run that those results are going to start running out for them. And Leicester have obviously got loads of penalties. Somehow, in the middle of all the penalty shenanigans talk going on between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, it hasn't actually come to anybody's attention that Leicester are the ones who are getting all the penalties. And
don't let facts get in the way of a good argument, Jer.
Are suddenly, like, riding this all the way to the Champions League next season, while the bickering is going on over here, the diving and the penalty winning is happening here, and Leicester are like, no one's even noticed. This is amazing. We're getting away with it. So, Leicester against Southampton. I expect it to be a penalty in this game. I expect Leicester to win 2-0 against Southampton.
Yeah, that's a very good angle. And again, to inform punters, there is a big question mark over Danny Ings due to COVID that broke yesterday. And we've seen the Leicester price shorten from about 11 to 10 into what it currently is there at about 4 to 5 now. So Danny Ings, that's the kind of swing a player like that makes to these prices. And if he's not scoring the goals for this game in particular, they're also missing Nathan Redmond, Che Adams, and even Gineppo on the wing was a fantastic player when he has been fit and playing for them. So I'd be really reluctant to back early on this until I see team news. What I will say is that we have a fantastic offer on the game, which is Jamie Vardy to have a shot on target in each half. It was 6-4. It'll be enhanced this game for 3-1 if you're watching it. But in terms of the penalties argument, Tom Warville in The Athletic did a fantastic piece on Man United this week and spoke on penalties and how it's not necessarily a repeatable skill, bar some outliers. And we think Jamie Vardy is one of those outliers. He knows how to win a penalty.
As in, he dives better than everybody else. Is that it? Is that
the? He knows how to initiate the contact, let's say.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Subtly put. And that's exactly what Jose Mourinho is teaching Marcus Rashford as well. Sheffield United against Spurs. Ender, where are we going?
Yeah, so I suppose I think the Instagram poll kind of tells the whole story of where Sheffield United are at the minute. But so we only have like 7 or 8 minutes left of this show, so I'm not really going to go into depth in this game. But one thing that I think you should look out for is Tottenham to score first, and Tottenham to score in the first half. According to average in their form this year across the whole Premier League compared to Sheffield United, Tottenham, their first half form is 161% better. And they have an XG of about 1.76, which is above average for a first half to score a goal. So I think Tottenham to take the lead. Maybe if you want to go Tottenham to win first half, then that would probably be a good bet for this.
All right. Anything that you want to say about this, Jason, before we get to the big game of the weekend?
I just want to add on, Serge Aurier, if he starts in this game, if you look at the, without Sissoko beside him, or even when Sissoko isn't able to help him out, the space he leaves, I can't wait to see what McGoldrick does to exploit that, because he's fantastic picking up those pocket spaces. So that'll be the one thing that I'd be watching in this game. And McGoldrick, he's 9-1 first goal scorer. If you're watching it, maybe an interest bet. But again, I'd be reluctant to back Tottenham at the 8-13.
All right, so let's get on to the big game. Liverpool against Manchester United. Liverpool, they're... what do we got here? 49% say Liverpool on Instagram, 51% say Manchester United. This isn't a 50-50 game, surely, with you guys, is it?
So we've Liverpool 10-11, the draw 11-4, and Man United 5-2. So we're saying almost like Liverpool probably wins every other time to win this game. If the cup was there, which is a significant factor, and we have statistics now with so many games without fans there at it, we reckon that 10-11 is probably into about 4-5. It's not quite as good as having Van Dijk on the pitch, but having a full cup there to suck the ball into the goal is nearly just as good. The fans really are the 12th man, and that's one thing that we can say without them, that they really are being missed.
And more importantly, to get at the referee when Rashford and Martial dive to make sure that he doesn't give the penalty, and when he's overlooking the VAR to like pull the plug or something. Is that what we're saying here, Ende? What do you think is going to happen? Because I'm surrounded by Man United fans here, so what's going to happen, Ende?
Well, Klopp played his hand very early in this game, but he played it correctly, because now everybody in the lead up to this, including all the referees, whether they want to think that it doesn't play into their attention or not, is that Manchester United go down easier than everyone else in the box. And, I mean, do they get more penalties? You just said there, Leicester have more penalties. Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, what he said was incorrect factually in terms of how many penalties he's gotten. So, like, it's not as simple as Liverpool have as many touches in the box as Manchester United do and more, and so that means they automatically should have penalties. It doesn't. It means that United players are more dangerous in the box, causing defender to clatter into them, and they get penalties.
So, okay, so you've taken the Kool-Aid, you've drunk the soup, I get it, but what does it mean for this game, Ende?
For this game, I think it is going to depend on the lineup. Whether or not Matip plays is going to be crucial, because I think if Cavani plays against a defense of Henderson, Fabinho and Trent, then his movement will drag them all over the place, and
we're ignoring the
United
whistle. Keep
really exploit them. So I think that United have a very good chance in this game if they can get the first goal, but chances are that United will not get the first goal. I think they have like a 13% chance of keeping a clean sheet in the first half as well. So United need to get rid of that form that they had all season in terms of starting slow in the big games and start big, start on the front foot and go out and act in this game. If they do that, they have as good a chance as any to beat Liverpool this weekend, I think.
Solskjaer's record in the big games is actually really quite good, notwithstanding the 6-1. And partly his record in that has been based on packing the defence and playing on the counter-attack. And they were excellent at doing that before the midfield kind of got good, before McTominay and Fred started to improve by 15 to 20% on what they were before that and actually be decent. And now all of a sudden, Paul Pogba is playing quite well as well, Jason. So like, when you're pricing this up, how much is it like the form of the last five games, and how much is it that actually we know that Solskjaer changes his team around specifically for these big games?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about it. He's going to have a fresh Fred and McTominay to come in and play in the 4-2-3-1 and form that defensive box with Maguire and Lindelof or Bailly, who's ever fit out with them. So they're really hard to beat away from home. And that's why they've been unbeaten in the league, I think, almost 12 months, and why we've seen some great away performances from them. Just to say, for this game, there's a really special Paddy Power offer that you just log in. If you place a bet builder with two legs or more, it's a free €5, £5 bet. You'll get your money back if it doesn't win. But if it does win, then happy days. Two selections I could give you. You can put a couple on it, but two I'd give you. One is Harry Maguire to score anytime. If Matip doesn't play, looking at the starting teams that are going to play in this, per player on average, Liverpool are giving away 2 inches to each Man United player. So if you can isolate Maguire against anyone on a set piece, he's going to have an advantage there. He has scored at Anfield before with Leicester when it finished 1-1. So I think him, you could back it as a single. It's about 11-1 to score anytime, but he's great in a bet builder. The other one I'd give you is Fred, because he's all action. He's averaging about 2.7 tackles per game. That places him in the top 15 for the league this season. He's picked up 4 yellows already, plus what happened in the PSG game. So you could combine the two of them there, and I think it's about 33-1, but you can add your own bets to it. Again, because it's a 90-minute piece of entertainment, the bet builders are really good ways to do that.
Okay. I think this has the all the hallmarks of a really boring nil-all, where actually both sides decided that this doesn't matter. That what matters is their ability to beat all of the rest of the teams in the league over the course of the rest of the season, and that they're just going to make sure that no chances are given away. It's very stale, very sterile. I know I've been saying this all week, and feels like no.
Yeah. See, but it's all well and good on a normal day when the Liverpool have a full team going out against United, but I think this one, because Liverpool are in such bad form and because they have so many players out injured, this is United's best chance of beating them at Anfield and ruining that home record. One thing that I do want to actually touch, what's going to be interesting in this is seeing the heat maps, because if you're looking at both teams, the most vulnerable part of both teams is at right back. So you have Trent lobbing balls all over the place on top of Wan-Bissaka, and if Bailly's beside him, then that can get a bit messy with Robertson out the left as well, with Mane as well. And then Paul Pogba, his potential to pick out that one-touch pass over the top of the defence, he'll be hitting that right back over Trent's head every single time. And that has the potential to be a really exciting counter-attacking game of football. So it might end 0-0. This might blow up in my face, but I think there's going to be goals in this.
So you're saying 3-all?
Over 2.5 goals, I'd say. I think it's going to be a 2-all draw.
Right, okay. All right, let's move on quickly. We've got a couple of minutes left here. We don't really, but sure, we'll go anyway. Man City against Crystal Palace. It's 89% think Man City are going to hammer Crystal Palace on Instagram. And I think this is yours.
And well, if you want me to take this, I did not know this is mine, but I'll take it anyway. Man City are in great run of form at the minute, except for, you know, a little blip in the system. But they're too good for Crystal Palace at this stage. And I think hammered at home every single time. If you score early against Crystal Palace, then they will not beat you. But if the longer the game goes on, if you do not score against Crystal Palace, they have players like Zaha and Eze and Benteke, who's now scoring goals again, and Schlupp, they can get you on the counter-attack. So I don't think that's going to happen to Man City this time, because their defence is starting to really solid up with Diaz in the back. So I think Man City will win this easy enough. They'll 2-0 win.
I think we need to cool the jets a little bit on all the Man City praise that's happening at the moment. I was all up for it a couple of weeks ago, but just their performances, they're not as good as they should be. They absolutely need Aguero back. I don't know what the markets are saying here. How heavily favoured are City?
Yeah, Man City 1-7, the draw 7-1, and Crystal Palace 16-1. But just to give a bit of context to how good they have been recently, since that Jimenez injury, and I was looking at the XG that Wolves were producing, Man City in the same time since are producing over 2.5 goals XG per game. That's back when Pep had them pouring at their best. So for me, I think they are getting pretty much back there. Have no recognised striker, and that's why there's probably an interesting angle in the goal scorer markets. For the rest of the season, do consider Man City are playing virtually every midweek now, so know that Pep is going to rotate. But if you're looking for a goal scorer bet, there's value in Foden, there's value in Godin Won, just because there's no recognised striker. But just to point out, Kevin De Bruyne's attacking metrics this season in terms of shots are phenomenal. He's had 5 shots against Crystal Palace. His own XG without penalties is 0.39 per game. That's the best data he's produced.
Then take the penalties. Take the penalty. Don't be too tired to take the penalty the last minute of the game. Take the penalty.
Appreciate that. And that's why I'm saying De Bruyne, if there is a penalty here, on top of that, is why he's a great bet. I'd have a look at him at 9-2.
Can you imagine backing De Bruyne to score? And he's like, no, I'm knackered. It's like, yeah. And then Sterling misses. I mean,
yeah, maybe he was trying to give Sterling a bit of confidence or something like
didn't
that.
Work.
I don't agree. We've seen it actually. There was a shocker one in the Seville derby 2 weeks ago, Betis against Sevilla, and Betis have never apparently missed a penalty in the derby. Canellas took the first one and scored it, and then Fekir took the second one and missed it to win what is probably the biggest derby in world football. They came out and said that they're both designated penalty takers, and Fekir, maybe because he won it, he could take it. I don't know. That's what we play on the playground.
Yeah.
But you'd want for a derby like that.
No, you make a rule, you stick to it. Arsenal versus Newcastle is the last one. Andy, you're saying 75% according to Instagram is the Arsenal. Newcastle are in the death spiral. Get off the Newcastle train as fast as you can. Ronan O'Gara was the source of information for us earlier on in the week when he said in the Bundesliga survey produced said post-COVID teams really struggle. So I'm worried about Villa and what happens to them, but certainly what's going on at Newcastle at the moment certainly would seem to back up the evidence. So you got to take your information where you get it.
Yeah, Newcastle are the worst team to watch in the league at the minute. So I don't know if that's down to COVID or down to Steve Bruce and his tactics. But, I mean, you do have to consider the effects that COVID has on the body. And people have been talking about it you know, you get COVID, you have it, and then you're done. You're done self-isolating. You're back and you're match fit playing the Premier League again. We don't know how it's actually affecting the players on a personal basis. So I think like some players could come back and be completely normal again, but also other players could come back and not be right for the next 3 weeks. So it's something that studies will come out and see the effects that it's had in a couple of years' time. But at the minute, we just don't know that. But I don't think Newcastle's form is down to COVID. I think it's just down to how bad their system is and how badly they're implementing the game plan. So this is going to be a boring game. This is going to be like an under 2.5 goals kind of game if you're going for a bet, because they're pretty putrid to watch as well, even though they've improved their form.
Yeah, and this also has a nil all over it. What are the odds on this, Jason?
Yeah, you have Arsenal at 2-5 and Newcastle about 13-2. Like I say, it's the Monday night football. So if you are watching it, you don't always have to have a bet, especially in the current circumstances, you know. But if you're watching the game and you want a bit of entertainment or try to generate entertainment, four legs for a bet builder that you could do. Smith Rowe to score anytime. It's about 13-5. Since he made his first start at the end of November, he's involved in 6 goals, 4 assists, scoring 2. He's the kind of high energy dribbling player that against the packed Newcastle defence is likely to get a goal. You can have a look at over 40 booking points. The reason being that Newcastle in the cup game, this is clicked. It's clicked in 3 of Newcastle's last 4 games. When the team is in bad form, discipline goes out the window. You can have a look at Arsenal corners over 5.5. It's about 4-11, a bit shorter than the 2-5 for Arsenal to win the game, but there's more chances of the corners than Arsenal winning it, I believe. And the last thing I'm going to give you, which you'd always put in a bet builder with Arsenal, is Granit Xhaka to be booked. If the over 40 points in the booking index clicks, then it's a fair chance Xhaka has been booked. Yeah. You can get that at about 40-1, which is a nice interest entertainment bet for what on paper probably doesn't look like a great game.
No, exactly. It's not going to be the most entertaining game of the weekend. You can hear the Manchester United-Liverpool game live on Off the Ball on News Talk on Sunday. Nathan and Brian Kerr on duty for that one. We will see you next week. My thanks to Jason and to Enda. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.